Welcome back to another issue. I'm Beastie Boy.
I'm Table.
I'm Red.
And it is I, Shino Brando.
And in this issue, we follow the entrails of Marvel and DC's vastly different takes on the zombie genre.
So we got Marvel Zombies and Deceased today for you guys. And we're going to just start off with explaining why they're different. Marvel decided that they were going to do What If Our Characters Were Zombies, where Deceased decided to do What If Our Characters Were in a Zombie Apocalypse. Do you see the distinction here?
Mm-hmm. Like, I understand.
The recent Marvel What If has kind of given us yet another resurgence in Marvel Zombies, because much like those characters, apparently the concept won't fucking die. Because, yeah, BC, you said you were reading the Marvel Zombies Resurrection, which came out semi-recently.
Last year. So I was reading Marvel Zombies and then Marvel Zombies Resurrection, so that's a whole trip.
And I'm sure you noticed that one of the most characteristic parts of Marvel Zombies as a series is that all of our characters are still characters. They talk, they have thoughts and feelings and opinions. It's just their primary motivation is now consuming human and then later alien flesh.
Consume!
Nom nom.
Flipping over to the opposite side of the fence, DC's take is much more of a, oh, the world is ending and what that means for individual character aspects.
Okay.
DC wants to tell you a character story. Marvel wants to tell you, wouldn't this be fucked up? And it is.
Jesus.
And it's correct.
A big thing is that while both of them are technically part of the horror genre, just in terms of how graphic they have to be on panel to kind of convey what's going on, Marvel Zombies falls farther into slashery, farther away from classic zombie stuff into just outright slasher gore porn type things. Though, I'll give them a little credit. It's less bad than I remembered it being. I went back and I was like, this is fucking icky, but it could have been worse, I guess.
Yeah.
By a very small margin. Like, this comic is already, like, mature rated and as bloody and as stringy and as entrail as it possibly gets.
You really get the feeling that they went, how bad can we get and still sell really well? And then they hit exactly that point. That's exactly what they went with.
Well, do tell.
So I'll start us off with Marvel Zombies and we'll get into Deceased, because Deceased is a little more heart-wrenching. Marvel Zombies is just a lot. It takes place on Earth 2149, and it actually follows directly after an event in the Ultimate Fantastic Four, in which they had to deal with a zombified Fantastic Four who were, you know, there to eat everyone. And they had a dimension traveling device, which is pretty fucked up. And Marvel Zombies Volume 1, Issue 1, begins with Magneto having successfully destroyed the device and trapped all of the zombies in his own dimension with him, because he's their local. He was one of the last surviving humans, well, mutants, and he went with, we're all fucked, but at least I can prevent them from fucking up other people.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, Magneto, the forever humanitarian. Oh, wait.
As always, Magneto, maybe he was a little bit right. And he's like, all right, I've successfully trapped them. And all of the zombified Avengers are like, yeah, you've trapped us with you, idiot. We're going to eat you now, okay? And when I say zombified Avengers, we're talking Thor, Spider-Man, Moon Knight, Hank Pym, Ant-Man, Colonel America, Luke Cage, Angel, Wolverine, and Daredevil.
Now, to give it like a better picture, wasn't it like as soon as that device was destroyed, Magneto was like, oh, okay, I'm not dead. And then he looks back and it's like, ah, but you guys are here too.
It's a full spread, yeah.
Yeah, you're not stuck here with us. I'm stuck here with you.
Interestingly, during one of the early pitches for this series, Luke Cage was proposed as an only surviving human due to his impenetrable skin. But because versions of him as a zombie had already been drafted and drawn up, they were like, ah, fuck it, he can be a zombie too.
Stupid. Okay.
It does raise the question of how, but whatever. As I'm sure you can guess, Master of Magnetism, he's pretty cool. He fucks up a lot of zombies, but when the entirety of this superhero group, plus some others who turn up out of nowhere, like Nova and Cyclops and stuff, have all of their powers and the desire to rip him apart and consume him.
Rip and tear, I guess.
There's only so far he can get. They do eventually eat him. Yay. He successfully cuts off half of Colonel America's skull, which is kind of nifty, and proceeds to be just a thing for the rest of this fucking book. Yeah, it's Colonel America, by the way, for no clear reason. He just was a higher rank in the army this time, I guess.
He got a promotion.
Just because. There's certainly something a little unsettling about the way all of these heroes just are just talking mostly normal, and they sure want to fucking eat him, though. And they talk about, like, why are you even going through this, man? You know we're gonna fucking get you. Come on, just lie down and die. And he's like, absolutely the fuck not. What? They eat Magneto, and then they're like, well, what the fuck do we do now? We've discovered that the Hulk turns into Bruce Banner when he's not hungry, and then he turns back as soon as he's hungry again, and given that the whole point of this is inconquerable hunger, it doesn't last long. But we find out about something that was kind of maintained for the What If series. Now, do you all recall what Vision was up to those days?
Trying to cure his wife?
Yeah, that's one way to put it.
Feeding his wife Soylent Green?
Well, they got that idea from the book. Hank Pym is keeping T'Challa with his mask half on because it makes him feel less weird about it, apparently, in a basement, drugged up, and he just cuts off limbs and such to eat, to kind of, like, maintain his cognizance, because we discover that just after feeding, they're a little bit more together. This is easily tested by the fact that Spider-Man suddenly feels bad about eating his wife and aunt again.
Damn it.
And here's where that gets super icky. Because, like, damn, Peter.
He'll just take off his mask and cry about it. And everyone's like, dude, you do this every time. Shut up.
That's so rude.
Right?
Yeah. Right? Petey, stop being a whiny bitch about it. We get it. You ate them. So did I. Like,
man up and be a real zombie. Like,
and the big issue for these zombies is that they had superpowers and went fucking nuts eating the entire global population. And now they've basically run out of food. Because they can eat each other, but they don't taste very good. So what's the fucking point? And this is when the Silver Surfer turns up.
Oh, good. I like him.
He's just like, this place is pretty fucked up. And then leaves for a little while. And we go back to Hank Pym, who's being weird. Here's the thing. He intends to re-drug T'Challa after eating his leg. And that's when Janet Van Dyne shows up and is like, hey, you have a snack and you haven't been sharing? Bro.
Sharing is caring, my guy. Come on.
Yeah.
They fight. Hank bites off her head. Apparently, he is simply incapable of being a good husband.
And that's not the only story. Janet's head gets eaten. And it's weird that it's happened twice.
The second time she's devoured, I mean, she's devoured from ribcage on. So, I mean, that's a bit different, but yeah.
Oh, she doesn't die. I want to be clear. Here, she doesn't die. He just bites her head off and spits it out and leaves.
Assert your dominance, Hank. I understand.
I cannot convey to you just, like, I'm not a zombie person, but I'm not a super zombie person. But somehow this manages to land right on the weird line of things I don't care for in zombie content all the way through. But c'est la vie. It's fairly well executed. I know people enjoyed it because it did really well. And there are so many spinoffs, which we'll get to later.
I have questions, though.
Yeah.
So for folks like who have a healing factor, what does this virus, this zombie thing work?
I don't know. It's really, really not clear. We do get hints as it goes along that, like, healing factors have been negated. They just don't fucking work. They are dead because they're not really digesting food that they consume. They're just acidic on the inside and they burn everything up. We also find out that the hunger is psychological more than anything else. Because zombie Hank Pym gets distracted before he can re-drug T'Challa. So T'Challa wakes up and, like, manages to get himself a splint and limp out of there. And he takes Janet's head with him because he's like, you were my friend. I wish this wasn't what was going on, but you were my friend. And she's begging to be allowed to eat him. And he's like, you don't even have a stomach anymore, Janet? No. Like, no.
Come on, just a nibble.
Exactly what she says.
That's literally what's said word for word.
That's just the line. The logistics of this zombie virus don't really make a lot of sense. Colonel America is running around with half a brain for this entire book because Magneto chopped half of it off. But apparently that's fine.
He just can't remember what 2+2 equals, but he can remember brains.
He remembers what he wants. Iron Man gets, like, lasered in half by the Silver Surfer when he turns back up to do the Herald thing. And the Silver Surfer fight is weird, but apparently if you cut off his head, and by cut off I mean have the Hulk just bite it off, like he's incapable of eating a popsicle like a normal fucking human being, you can just tear off the shiny coating, quote unquote, and eat the fleshy innards.
Oh my god, like so a that's baked information. Potato.
Did you just call the Silver Surfer a baked potato?
I did.
I don't like that. Point being, they eat the Silver Surfer, but only some of them. That's important because the ones that do deal his power cosmic. So now we have flesh-eating zombies with the power cosmic.
Flesh-eating zombies in space. That's a different comic book that I want now.
Oh, rest assured.
That's just volume 2. That's what that is.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah, it is. Because they eat the Silver Surfer. He's dead. Everything's not fine, but it's whatever. And then fucking Galactus shows up.
Oh, that's a family-sized meal right there. Look at that shit.
That's what they went with. They're like, damn, that'll be great. That'll be ideal.
Oh, boys, the buffet. Let's go.
A bunch of the villains are also trying to kill and eat Galactus, who is like, what the fuck is wrong with you people?
Galactus is like, eating is my shtick. What's going on here?
Yeah, what's up with you guys? They are able to successfully build a device to amplify their power cosmic to kill Galactus, and then they eat him. And they're not the only ones who are about to go to space. You see, because of where this falls in terms of the Ultimate Universe and all of that, Asteroid M is in play. And some of those mutants come down looking for Magneto, find Black Panther, and are like, I guess you can come up with us because you're alive. Fucked up that you're here.
I don't know what you're going to do with 1 2/4 of a leg, but you know.
Oh, they run into Forge, who's up there and makes him some new limbs. It's fine. Everything's cool.
Of course.
Ah, good. Panther is awesome.
When in doubt, forge it out.
So not only do the cluster of zombies remaining, which does not include Colonel America, because in the fight with the villain zombies, Red Skull just scoops what's left of his brain out and goes, this whole thing was worth it just for that, and then fucking dies.
What a loser Nazi.
What a loser Nazi. So we get the zombie Galacti. It's half of Iron Man, Hank Pym, Ant-Man, Spider-Man, Luke Cage, Wolverine, and the Hulk.
Zombie Avengers assemble.
And They are just going around in space, eating planets. All of them, actually.
Oh, good. They adopted Galactus's hunger, too. Awesome.
Well, the whole point of the zombie virus is it is just hunger. That's just what they want. And I guess now they're able to eat planets, too. So they're like, fuck it. Let's do that. We get the fact that the people from Asteroid M go back to Earth several years later because they're like, maybe the zombies have starved and died. T'Challa has had a child with someone on the space station just because, I guess. And Janet Van Dyne, the Wasp, a severed zombie head, is now in like a android body. And she seems much less inclined to eat people. So that's cool. And that's volume 1 in brief. I skipped a lot of things. But do you want to guess how many volumes and crossovers and related events there are of Marvel Zombies?
Answer, too many. All right, I win.
Listen, you're right. I mean, yeah. There's a numeric number.
The answer is 16. There are 16.
I win, see?
Yeah, you would.
There's volumes 2 through 5. Mm-hmm. There's the 2015. There's Marvel Zombies Resurrection 2019. There's the Army of Darkness crossover. There's the Age of Ultron versus Marvel Zombies. There's an anthology book that includes them. There is Supreme. There's Evil Evolution. Destroy. Halloween. Dead Days.
I'm gonna ask you to pause on that right now. I'm gonna tell you exactly where it fell apart. Because anytime you title something Resurrection, you know it's at the benchmark of shit now. Okay. Okay.
Well, that's the current one. So apparently 15 of these were fine.
No, they weren't. It's that kind of series you get subpars to titling until they come up to Resurrection and be like, oh, this is our second chance to kind of make it good again. But you chose the word Resurrection and it's still not good.
I want to be clear. It's not actually bad. It's not.
At least the first volume.
Yeah, but it is just meh. Personally speaking, I find one of my favorite things about comics is the characters. And Marvel Zombies is only passingly interested in the characters. Oh, also, do you want to know how this whole thing started?
Yes.
How?
A zombie century. The guy, Robert Reynolds, got yeeted into this world by a watcher from another one to create a time loop. Because essentially, these zombies eventually escape this world and go to that one and fuck it all up. But they get trapped there as well. And so the infection gets yeeted back there to just create a circle of, wow, that sucks.
Wow, that watcher really was like, let me pose a question of, what if I fuck your shit up?
I do not intervene until I do. Y'all like circles? Because I'm a figure out one.
This was written by Kirkman himself, right? So he knows how to do zombies. And he did zombies. I don't want to be a dick about it, but There's a reason I prefer vampire content, even if it's Morbius.
God, that Morbius movie, huh?
I was sitting here mind my business, just listening to her talk, and all of a sudden she just came with the jab to the ribs with Morbius. I'm like, ah!
Y'all remember that thing has got a release date?
But yeah, for people who like zombie stuff, they'll enjoy Marvel Zombies. I'm not one of them.
All right.
But you know what I did enjoy? Red.
Deceased. Hey, y'all like Hope?
I guess.
Okay, great. So I'm about to snatch it like the world's worst weave. So Deceased is written expertly by Tom Taylor. Tom Taylor being the person who's on Nightwing currently and Secret Six and did a little series, I don't know if y'all have heard about it, called Injustice.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, that thing.
We kind of start the story where Hope is at its strongest with Superman breaking the jaw of a god.
Wait.
And that god is Darkseid.
Okay.
God of Apocalypse or something like that. So anyway, Darkseid cracks his jaw back into place and goes, ha, I have what I came here for. And the thing he came here for was Cyborg. Because Cyborg is built with Motherbox technology. And he's got the back half of the anti-life equation. So Darkseid's got one half and Cyborg has the other half, but like won't give it up because that's what heroes do. So Desaad's torturing Cyborg and Cyborg goes, haha, I'm never going to give it to you. And then Desaad just chops out his tongue.
Oh.
Because Darkseid can flex on a motherfucker. Darkseid summons the Black Racer. For those uninitiated with that character, it's the Speed Force
it's
version
me.
Of death.
I'm the Black Racer.
I didn't realize you spelt Ranger that way. Anyway.
Death, but if he went zoom.
Exactly. So Darkseid being an asshole. Carves off a piece of the Black Razor, merges it with the anti-life equation, and becomes the first of the enslaved, causing the ruler of Apocalypse to claw out his own skull and jump into the pit of Apocalypse, causing it to explode.
Wow!
Darkseid was.
Holy shit.
So just before the planet explodes, Desaad sends Cyborg back to where he fucking came from. And the moment Cyborg touches Earth, he connects back to the internet, and anybody that looks at their phone now also becomes part of the enslaved.
I see what they're doing there. Okay.
It went viral. Let's join back in the story with Hope himself, Superman, right? Superman hears screaming and it's from his entire city because everybody's looking at their phones. Within 20 minutes, 600 million people are infected.
Damn.
And to stop his wife from being infected, Superman blows through a wall like the Kool-Aid man and yeets her phone and then blasts it with heat vision. Oh yeah. So, world's finest, right? Batman. What's Batman up to? Batman is on his computer, connected to the fucking interwebs, because of course it is. Batman, the moment he realizes what's the problem, he does two things. One, calls the Flashes, tells them, stop moving, go hide somewhere, because that'll be a problem. And B, blows an EMP inside of his own house.
Well then.
However, that didn't stop anything. The Wayne house has been affected. Batman and Alfred must put down Nightwing and Tim Drake.
Frowny face sticker.
Y'all ready for this? The Dark Knight gets bit, and with the last moves of a dying father, puts himself in one of Mr. Freeze's old suits to delay his end, and with one last transmission, does the most fatherly thing he can. Calls Damian and tells him how proud he is of him.
Hey Damian, so proud of you. Still don't love you though.
That'd be so rude.
As the virus overtakes Batman, Alfred must say sorry to his son and shoot him dead.
For all that your joke was quality, top tier Shino, one of the big recurring themes of the series is actually just people caring about each other.
Hey, so like if you were camping, you probably should be immune, right? Because you're not on your phone or nothing. Well, let's go talk to Green Arrow, Black Canary, and Hal Jordan. But fuck Hal Jordan because he looks at his phone. And then his ring yells at him and goes, lethal force is not available. And Black Canary has to scream him to death. Little Green Lantern trivia for you. What happens when a Green Lantern dies?
He loses a ring and he always finds it someone else.
So the person who it finds is Dinah Lance, Black Canary.
Okay.
And so we get
Green. I mean, she is right there.
Right? And so we get Green Canary. By the way, one of her best looking costumes.
Okay, I dig it.
This book puts a lot of shine on characters you wouldn't normally have picked. There's an issue, and I'm not going to go over it too much in detail, but Constantine gets essentially an issue to himself. Green Arrow's a shining star. Harley Quinn's got a side story with Ivy. It's really cool. Harley Quinn's got to put down the zombie birds of prey. Well, in the rural midst of nowhere, Superman's family also needs to be protected. And so Superman goes to his family farm, and Pa has been infected. Ma has locked him in the barn, and when Superman shows up, he seals the barn closed with his heat vision. And as he takes his mother away from there, it goes, he isn't there anymore.
Or John Kent. He keeps getting that Uncle Ben status nowadays.
Honestly. I like this continuity.
Likes Ma better, so they just keep fucking killing him.
Right?
Right? I like that Ma and Pa Kent are around sometimes, but Jesus Christ, if they're gonna be just fodder.
Christ, man.
Hey, remember how I said the Flashes got a call from Batman?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so they found a place to stay and now have joined up with our remaining heroes who didn't just absolutely tear out their own faces. After joining up with the heroes, the Flashes go, okay, well, what can we do? And what they start doing is tearing apart the internet, radio signals, and it takes the greatest minds left on the planet to build secure networks. That way they can still talk to each other, but not spread the infection. So now the only way to infect people is zombies. It's here I want to make the point of the book's narration, because we have a narrator through the book, and it's not until this very end where we figure out who it is. It's Lois Lane. And she has been telling us a story of how Earth lost its hope that day.
So much for Blue Lantern Lois Lane, am I right?
Right. Hey, so like, one of the most people that have been fighting for a long time, Lex Luthor and Superman. Yeah, so Lex walks up to Superman, and Superman goes, by Rao, if you think you're doing anything to swindle this entire thing, I'll murder you right here.
Murder.
And Lex Luthor folds to his knees and begs the Man of Steel to let him help.
Look, no one can profit off of a zombie apocalypse. It just doesn't really work like that.
So after shutting down everything, if all the heroes go somewhere, who watches the Watchtower usually?
The Martian. Mr. Terrific sometimes.
The Martian Manhunter.
Uh-huh.
And you know how bad it would be if the person that's connected to everybody's heads and can fight like Superman gets infected?
Oh, shit.
Real fucking bad. Because, hey, remember that bisection from the Marvel part of our show?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so Martian Manhunter runs himself through Lex Luthor and does that exact same thing.
Okay.
Deeply unpleasant.
And also scratches Barry Allen.
Fastest zombie alive, I understand.
Exactly. Yeah, so, you know.
Major fucked.
Super well, major fucked. Yeah. Like, we had a little bit of hope and then absolutely dashed. And so there's only one man that can stop the fastest man alive. Superman.
Super dude? Yeah.
Super dude. And so Superman answers the question of what happens when an unstoppable force meets an immovable object. They merge.
Oh, God.
So Barry's running, you know, circular around the Earth. And all Superman has to do, doesn't have to catch up with him, just has to meet him where he's going to be. And collides with Barry Allen at top speed.
Jesus.
The hope was that Superman would be able to, like, at that speed, he would just disintegrate. Superman is wrong. Barry Allen's finger gets lodged inside of Superman's chest.
Bam. Oh, man, you know what? Fingers shouldn't be lodging into anything like that anyways, but go on.
So this is where our other speedster comes into play. And so Superman, in his last moments, asked Wally West, by the way, this is Black Wally West, by the way.
Yeah.
To connect his son, his wife, and his mother all to him using the Speed Force. So that way he can savor all the moments he has left before the virus takes him. He thanks his mother, he thanks his wife, and he tells John that he will always, always be proud of him.
Is it so hard for these guys to tell their sons they love them?
Yes, they have to actively be dying.
Correct.
Like, come on, man. So proud of you. Fucking, you're dying, bro. I love you. What the hell's wrong with you?
Listen, Batman doesn't know how to exhibit a feeling that isn't brood, and Superman's too proud of himself, so...
I'm sorry, I save all my love views for Lois. She's the only person I care about.
Jeez.
The book literally states, at 11:48 a.m. on a Wednesday, all hope was lost.
On a Wednesday of all days, damn.
On hump day, even.
You know? That tracks.
So, zombie Superman is like, all right, fuck your shit. I'm going to go absorb the sun.
Oh.
And
hope you didn't need that.
And the Green Lantern Corps, all of it, MOGO included, shows up and goes, yeah, we're not going to fuck with that. It's time to take the arcs that you've built, and we will escort you away from that nonsense.
Oh, that shit's fucked. Like, really fucked.
Yeah.
We're going to go.
Because Superman is causing the Earth's sun to go into a red giant, and so the Earth is lost. And then Tom Taylor's like, haha, Earth 2, because he likes to fuck with me. He likes to rub my nose that DC just forgot about Earth 2 and then rearranged what Earth 2 is 4 different times. I'm just salty about it.
Earth 2 only exists at this point to make people who care about Earth 2 upset.
Me! So this book had 3 sequels. All of them are focusing on characters that didn't get the spotlight in this one, and they're all written by Tom Taylor, and they're all absolutely fantastic. In fact, on our live show, Itty Bitty Nerdy Committee, twitch.tv/NerdCrusade on 8 p.m. Mountain Standard Time, we have reviewed an issue of a side story of this, focusing on Cassandra Cain, and Red Hood. This book loves the story it's telling and isn't up its own ass about it.
It's just a good zombie apocalypse book. And that's, like, we mentioned before, earlier in this episode, that while Marvel Zombies was horror in the gore sense, Deceased is horror in the tragedy sense. It's just really deeply upsetting. And not because you're like, wow, that's fucking gross, but because you're like, oh, that's, fuck, they were so close, huh?
And just the emphasis it has on losing, like, these are people, loved ones that are being lost to this virus, and there's no saving them. Superman has to get reminded by Cyborg that all of the people that are infected are in fact dead.
They are not, like, sick. They're not in need of saving. They're dead and a threat. So yeah, that's the different houses' takes on zombies. And frankly, I'm really glad we have both. I was not particularly kind to Marvel Zombies because it's just not my cup of tea, but it's fundamentally a good zombie story in terms of action and drama, and wow, it would be fucked up if everyone's motivation was to eat human flesh. But Deceased is also probably a little dreary for some people's taste. It's probably a little bit too dark for what some people are looking for in their comic books. So
Zack Snyder gives it 2 thumbs up.
Oh, and certainly that's true, because Army of Darkness bounces between both lines pretty well when it wants to. But Deceased, for all that it tells the story, it tells it in one go. You could close this volume, be done with that story, and not pick it up. Whereas Marvel Zombies wants to continue the story until it runs out of milk from this fucking cow.
Yeah, Marvel Zombies makes money, and they're going to keep making it as long as it makes money.
Tom Taylor knew how to write a story about, like, people. Loss. Because that, well, A, loss, and B, people. Because he had already done it once with the DC Universe with Injustice. This is a no-brainer for him.
These are both good books. And Volume 1 of Marvel Zombies is 6 issues, and you can read it really quickly. So at the very least, I'd recommend checking that out. And yeah, Deceased, its core volume is 6 issues, plus some minor spin-off. And those are almost all one-shots.
As DC is known for doing a whole lot of.
Mm-hmm. It's true. Yeah. There's an entire side story within the pages that I didn't even go over, and it's what's Mara and Aquaman doing? And frankly, I just don't care.
They're aqua shopping. All right, got you covered.
Yeah, and the only thing about that I truly like is Green Arrow shoots an arrow through Aquaman's head and then looks dead on into camera and says, fuck Batman.
Damn.
Because Batman has a very low opinion of Green Arrow, and rightly so, but Green Arrow is uniquely suited to a zombie apocalypse.
But yeah, I highly recommend Deceased over Marvel Zombies any day of the week. And both stories don't rely on much continuity to know who the hell they are.
Yeah, both stories are super friendly. For all that Marvel Zombies is a direct follow-up to The Ultimate Fantastic Four, they don't care if you've read it. It opens up with a little bit of, here's all you need to know, fucking go for it. And Deceased is very similar.
Exactly. It's just like, here you go. You guys know who these people are. Shit's fucked. Enjoy.
And gentlemen, what did you think of both?
I like both because I've read the stories for both, like, once before, and I enjoyed them as what they did, because, again, as you mentioned, they both have their own ways of, like, describing their version of a zombie story, but I think they're still pretty good, like, at least to give it a try, if anything.
They're both interesting.
Yeah.
I'm gonna be mad at Marvel Zombies for making no sense with people who have impenetrable skin and healing factors who are now also zombies. Makes no fucking sense to me. The thing is literally Rock, but he's a zombie too, but whatever. Cool. I guess that counts as flesh now, but all right.
Squishy and, Rock.
Squishy right?
And Deceased. I mean, Deceased is no stranger to everything grim dark. So, I mean, this is best quote Pop ever. Man. You guys are watching, reading this, feeling all despair and everything. And you were graced with good content, but for me, it was just a Tuesday. And it's like, it's, you know what I mean? It's just the grimdark in that country. So whatever, yeah. You know, as entertainment goes, I'm a person who likes the despair scenario more. So Deceased would win it over for me, because like with the Marvel zombie scenario is just like, it's grandiose in design. I mean, like we're literally zombies in space now doing terror, like zombies now colonizing in space. Like it's space colonization with zombies. I, you know, that's a bit much right now, but yeah, I mean, they're both entertaining in that, but if I had to choose one over the other, it's DC's, because I mean, they just do grimdark better in that side of the pond. So
glad to hear that's general agreement, but yeah, Marvel Zombies is very comics. Deceased is very DC. And I suppose that's not a bad thing, just how it is.
Truly.
No, Red. Red said her best. If you all have hope, I'm about to snatch that shit away from you right now. That's truth. So Deceased wins it for me.
All right. Well, if you want to join us for more Spooktober activities, Beastie, tell them where you can find us.
On the spooky side of our channel, which they can subscribe to every Wednesdays, and you can catch us streaming live on Mondays and Thursdays at twitch.tv/NerdCrusade. You can also follow us for more spooky stuff on Twitter or Instagram for updates, and join our Crusader chat on Discord by checking our link tree in the description down below. You can download any previous episodes or listen on your mobile device through anchor.fm or search NerdCrusade on your favorite podcast app. Thanks for joining us, and until next time, fellow Crusaders.
Hey, Peter, how's MJ and Aunt May? That's two bodies for one. Is there enough real estate right beside Uncle Ben's grave? And that's to be continued.
Thanks for tuning in. If you like this video, go ahead and button mash a thumbs up. If you want to swing by when we have a new video, web up the sub button. Oh, and while you're at it, hit the bell to be notified by...